Welcome, welcome. You're listening to our podcast, Two Massage Therapists and a Microphone. My name is Mark. I'm a registered massage therapist, registered kinesiologist here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We got a real cool guest on the other side of our Zoom, dual massage therapy registration. What?
Yeah.
I like it. It's not even like a different, you know, jurisdiction in the same country. I like the way this is.
Hey guys, it's Amanda, and I'm not even certain what day it is, what time it is.
It's Thursday.
We are getting so close.
It's Thursday, September 14th at 6:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you really want to know.
My brain won't even remember that in 5 minutes. We are getting so close to the Canadian Massage Conference that my whole life right now has been encompassed by conference, and that's where my brain power is going. But I'm going to do my very best to keep up tonight because we do have a really exciting guest who is both a registered massage therapist and licensed massage therapist. Her name is Jessica, and she reached out because, you know, she's done some competing and she might have won some championships, and she said, I've got some really cool stuff to talk about. And I said, cool, don't tell me any of it. Let's do a podcast episode and we'll learn all about it. So we literally did just have this conversation where I said to her, I want to know nothing about you. I'm going to get to know you on the episode. And she seems game for it. So Jessica, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with something very simple.
Where are you right now geographically?
I know where you live.
Where do you practice? Where do you work? I don't understand. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm in British Columbia at the moment. It is 3:19 here. I just came from work, so my patient moved around some time. So I'm super happy to be here with you guys.
Sweet.
So you know what happened, right? Jessica was actually supposed to be our podcast guest on Tuesday morning, but in my brain is in conference mode. When her and I were talking via Instagram, I said, hey, how's 11 a.m.? She said, 11 a.m. is perfect. We did not discuss time zones. So I assumed 11 a.m. Eastern time. Jessica assumed 11 a.m. her time. And we did not show up at the same time. This time we clarified a little bit. So we're ready to go. Take two. I want to know a little bit about your dual licensing, like where you were practicing in the States. So let's start with the introduction.
I want to know a couple things. Let's start here. How long have you been a massage therapist for?
I started massaging in 2004.
And your initial registration was in Canada or the United States?
Actually, I did have a European educated background. I worked with a lot of high performance athletes and was very privileged to work with a lot of masters in their own right and teachers, and, you know, was able to apprentice a lot, which was great. And I was, you know, really fortunate to have those experiences. And I think it would be, you know, would be sad if I didn't help, you know, share that with the world. You know, not a lot of people get to travel for their jobs, which is really nice.
So you say you have a European education. Where did you initially go to school? Yeah. Which country were you in?
I was based out of Spain.
Okay. So you started your massage education in Spain. Geographically, where in the world are you actually from? Where did you grow up?
My family is from Malta. So it's a little island in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. And I am from Prince George originally, which is northern BC. My grandfather's there. I just came back. He's 93, doing good. Try to always keep him, you know, limber and stretched out, living long.
I'm gonna need like a timeline here. So your family's from Malta, but you were born in BC, or you were born in Malta and then you guys came to BC?
I was born in BC.
You were born in BC. How do you end up a student in Spain? Take me through this.
It involves a plane.
Good timing. I actually knew someone very closely and was sort of, you know, taken under the wing and brought along for moral support. And like I said, right place, right time.
So you study in Spain. And then where do you go from there?
I transitioned to Hawaii, actually. Again, I worked with a lot of cycling athletes. And so being in Spain, close to the Pyrenees, Hawaii, Maui specifically, Haleakala is a big volcano. So there's a lot of training that happens there. And I found a sweet little clinic called Deep Relief. And I'll actually be heading down there in October. I'm going to be working with the American Windsurfing Tour. And so that should be super fun.
Is the move from Spain, you wanting to just go somewhere else? Is the move from Spain, I really want to go to Hawaii? Is the move from Spain, I'm going to go to a place where I can work with the type of people that I really want to work with, which are these athletes? Like, what drives the move from Spain?
Living in that far away became a little bit complicated. I got older. I was doing a lot in my younger days, and which is, you know, why I don't have a house right now or kids, because I was traveling. And, you know, Hawaii is very close to us here on the West Coast. And so it just made a little bit more sense that I wanted to sort of be with people that were training every day.
So did you have to go back to school then when you went to Hawaii? Did you have to get a massage therapy diploma there? I assume you would have had to get like licensed there because your education was European.
Yes. So I did have to go to Kona and challenge the exam, which I completed. But I thought, oh, well, you know, am I going to be able to stay in Hawaii forever? I wanted to have the freedom to have no one say no to me and be able to travel. So I came back to Victoria. And at that point, they said, no, you're not an RMT. You might be LMT, but you're not an RMT to be working here with our healthcare standards. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go back to school. And, you know, that wasn't an easy decision for me to leave Hawaii again. But, you know, I thought I'll do it now when I'm younger and be able to have that freedom. So I came back, I did a spa program. So when I went from Europe, I went to Sprott Shaw, I did a spa program. Then I went to Hawaii, did the exam there, had to come back and went through the West Coast College of Massage, the 3,200 hour program. Then I was able to challenge the national exam because I had enough hours. And so that was my full certification where I could pretty much work anywhere in the States if I wanted to.
So where have you worked? What are all the places that you have practiced massage in?
Mostly in Hawaii.
I would do that too, by the way, for any like LMTs, any Americans listening. Like if you can get licensed where you can practice in Hawaii, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah, it's true. But you know, also vacationing there and living there is a different thing.
Totally.
So I learned that really quickly too. But you know, once you're there for, I was there for 6 years as well, and you form a little tribe of people. And so, I'm super excited to go back and see everybody, you know, lend some aid if I can and, work with the athletes again.
I'm curious about Hawaii a little bit because we've had a couple people on who either went to school in Hawaii, like for example, MJ, she's, she owns like nail fucking
now she owns
she was a massage therapist in Canada. She went to school in the States. She went to school on a scholarship to Hawaii, and I was asking questions about Hawaii. Then we also have Melissa, who was on, who's an educator. She was working at a school in New York, and she went to Hawaii, and now she actually owns a school and a clinic in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I was always curious because, you know, I watch some TV shows. And they're not smart TV shows. They're for dumb dudes, right? So like Magnum PI and Hawaii Five-0. But the one consistent thing I've seen about Hawaii in general is that I want to know how locals react to non-locals in Hawaii.
Generally, not well.
Yeah, because that's what I've seen and that's what I've heard, and no one's really elaborated on that experience very much. Yes. But I want some insight onto that if you're cool.
Yeah, I'm when I interviewed at the Fairmont there, actually, they said you must require a skill that is special, but you're not taking away from somebody else. And so they're very protective of Indigenous people. Yes. And always wanting to promote, you know, locals first, just like here on Vancouver Island, we're, you know, the same way. And so you are protective of those values and traditions a lot. I'm actually going to be taking a look into helping to direct the state exam for Hawaii. And so it, I don't know, is that the Aloha spirit? Like, is that what it is? Do they want something like that? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go down and, you know, sort of investigate all that stuff. But yeah, the locals are just protective of, you know, the spirit there. And that translates into everything they do.
It's a very spiritual place. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, when you had to go back to school, so you studied in Spain, and then you challenged the exam in Hawaii, which I didn't know you can do that.
I didn't know either.
I didn't know in any of these states that you would be able to hold a license somewhere in the world and not necessarily have to go to school in that particular jurisdiction or that state or that province or whatever the case. In this case, we're talking states. I didn't realize that you can just challenge the exam without going to school and obtaining some sort of education there. That's interesting.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll back you up on that timeline. So when I came from Europe, I came back to Victoria and took a spa program.
Right.
And so this college was associated with the national board. And gotcha. So I had gone back to school for 10 months coming back from Europe, and then got the national exam, which then allowed me to challenge the Hawaii exam.
Gotcha. Okay. So when you're going from education in BC that allows you to challenge the exam in Hawaii, then you got to come back to BC and go to formal massage therapy college. I want to know what the differences are in education. In other words, did you sit in class in BC and think to yourself, God damn it, I really don't need to be here. I know this material. I've been practicing for X amount of years. I've already have formal education in this.
I've already worked with high level athletes.
So I want to know, do you learn anything new when you go to school and you're sitting in a 3,000 hour program in BC? Or are you like, this is stupid, guys. Like, I should just be able to challenge the exam the same way I challenged the exam in the US.
Well, they took a look at some of my credits, and, you know, I still had to go through the program, but they did give me, you know, awarded me credit for, you know, I didn't have to take a taping course.
Right.
I didn't have to do the first block of anatomy because I had already done that stuff. So the, it was really good what they did. I still had to go through that full time, but it wasn't just me being a full-time student, which was kind of nice.
So you roll into school in BC with a lot of experience, and a lot of experience in areas where other people don't have, like working with elite athletes.
Yes.
When you roll into a classroom and you're there in front of a massage therapy instructor who doesn't have this type of experience, mm-hmm. right? Who doesn't have the experience of working with athletes at this high level, or doesn't have the overall, maybe not even the amount of years that you've been treating, and they're your instructor. How are you met in the classroom? Because I know for me, like, I can imagine the instructor, some instructors, the ones with the ego, they're like, who is this? Who's this chick thing she is? Right? I want to know if you got that. I want to know if you got anything like, you've got a lot of experience and you bring to the table stuff that we just don't necessarily know or see. How about you join in and show us these things that you do and know? Or was it the opposite? I really want to know if the ego plays. Why are you smiling like that over there on the couch?
No, initially, of course, it's super frustrating to have to go back and, you know, continue to, you know, almost like prove yourself.
Because it's weird. Like, I went to massage school after I did a kinesiology and health science degree at university. And I was working in rehabilitation for years before I went to massage school. So I rolled into massage school with more rehabilitative experience, more health science experience and knowledge than my fucking instructors had. Right. And so there was times when I'm sitting there going, you're not the one that should be teaching me. This probably needs to be reversed right here. And I was met with some instructors, which was like, who's this fucking guy I think he is? And then I was met with other instructors who was like, oh, well, you know, other things that we don't. Can you please help us and share?
Yeah, it's all about sharing and community. And that's why it's so important to, you know, just be there. You know what? You don't know everything. You have specialties, but that's why, you know, it's all about showing, you know, sharing and learning and growing with each other. And that's why conferences and competitions and it's all makes it so worth it. You get to debate on different topics.
So were you able to do that in school though? Did you have, which of Mark's experiences do you feel you had more of? Do you feel you had more of like the instructors who wanted to collaborate with you and pick your brain a little bit? Or did you have the instructors who were like, okay, sit down, Jessica, I'm going to teach.
Yeah, it was sort of very much sort of the protocol of the school. And so, you know what, these people are going to be your colleagues in the end. And they're, you know, kind of there to make it tough a little bit so that you grow. And, you know, I had an instructor that made me cry. And I actually ended up going back to her a couple of years later and saying, thank you for doing that. Thank you for pushing me. And I didn't like it at the beginning, but, you know, real life is not always an easy road.
What's the scenario in which an instructor brings you to water coming out of your eyes?
It was something silly. It was like a hamstring strain. And she's like, you know, you weren't doing the assessment properly and you weren't, you know, I had had all this experience, but I was missing sort of the clinical, like, okay, this is the exact name and exact bony insertion. So, you know, and you need to know those things. Mm-hmm. So, no, it was all education is beneficial. I'm happy I did it. And nice. I continue to do it. I went back now with all of this and I'm actually a basic teacher certified with the International Massage Association. I can't use that anywhere in Canada or US, but you know, it's nice to have when I do decide to go back to Spain. So I'll keep you posted on the travel.
So you've been traveling all over the place. You've been a massage therapist in three different countries. And the initial message you sent to us was,
you said, sporting some Canada gear. Right,
you're like,
now.
You're like, I'm doing all these exciting things I want to share with you. And as I mentioned at the top of the episode, Jessica did send me a link so I could learn about her. I didn't open it. I know nothing about this woman we're talking to today, but there was obviously some experiences that you've had. And you kind of alluded to it. You talked about championship, like things that you've done as an internationally trained therapist, as a national, like the experiences you've had that some of us have no idea about.
So can we start with the championship?
Let's hear all of it.
I would really like to start with the championship, and there's a couple of reasons why I would love to. One of the many things that we do is we run a company called Massage Therapy Media, and it's a digital resource for massage and body work, and we also do conferences and all that kind of stuff. And we do a lot of media coverage for things that are going on in the massage world. And we got invited to a Thai massage competition that was happening in Toronto. And that just happened
2 days ago.
2 days ago. So we went and we shot a whole bunch of video footage and blah, 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 blah. And the whole idea is to help that organization bring awareness to what they're doing. And it was a great community. It was freaking cool as hell to be there and see
it. Super fun.
So we are open as an organization, as individuals, to things like competitions.
Yep.
Because we also recognize it's not about a competition, right? It's not about...
It's exactly what Jessica said. It's community. It's community. And learning from each other.
Inspiration.
It's not about, like, I'm going there to place and blah, 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 right? At least I'd hope not for most of the people participating. But when most massage therapists in Canada, I'm not going to talk the states because they're a whole different beast right now, but a massage therapist in Canada, because we're healthcare, and in some provinces we're regulated healthcare.
I mean, she's in BC. They're regulated.
They hear the word they hear the word competition, and they freak out in a very negative, condescending way. And I'm curious as to why did you want to do competitions and how did you get involved in competitions? Let's start there.
Actually, before you answer that, I just want to add, Yes, we went to the Thai massage competition, but we also went to the Canadian Championships in Montreal. That was in the spring. And when we were there, we actually got to meet Yepi. You know, so Yepi's the guy that, you know, he's at all the competitions. He's the guy organizes all of
it's his gig.
All of the world championships, right? And so Yepi has seen competitors from all over the world. So he's seen all of the European competitors. And we went to dinner with him one night and he said to me just like very, very bluntly, he's like, I had a great time here. He goes, but Canadians, like this is different than I've ever seen. He's like, Canadians are so reserved. The way that we treat compared to like what you see in Europe.
I want to define what he means by that, I think. One, when you take a look at the video footage from, you know, the World Championships or even the championships that you see in the States, there's a lot of flash that goes along.
A lot of flash.
So the therapists are very flashy in what they're doing. It's a lot about a performance that's happening.
Absolutely.
And so what he saw when he was in Montreal where this took place wasn't that at all. It wasn't overly flashy. It wasn't this massive performance.
Yeah.
Very clinical.
Even though there were even though there were international competitors.
There were, yeah.
Right? But the international competitors were definitely on the more flashy side by comparison to the Canadian therapists. So I think that's what he means by it, but we understand why
I knew
Canadian therapists.
I knew what he meant, well, but yeah, I added
for,
that
for
in
our people
to sort of add on to your point of like Canadian therapists are not welcoming this kind of thing with open arms. So you, especially being in BC where you guys are so heavily regulated, what drove you to want to compete, knowing that a lot of your peers were going to look at you and say, Jessica, are you crazy?
Yeah, it's there's so many of us. It's really hard to set yourself apart. And, you know, I know I don't know everything. I'm not the best, but I know I'm different. And I want that recognition. And so, you know, that's where that drive comes from. As I, like I said, I've had all these experiences. I don't want to be, you know, treated the same. And I did have a lot of sort of, you know, different type of techniques I was using. And so school taught me like draping, very, you know, clinical and very kind of dry. And so I was able to add in all these other techniques, you know, lomi. Even I have a cupping certification. I can't do
that. You can't use that
in
BC. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? When I went down to the competition, I did it. I'm not the best, but I tried and I showed that I could do it. And, you know, it has its place in what I was doing and trying to show. And that's the point.
You see, you're bringing a piece to this whole competition thing that I just didn't think of before. And the piece is I'm in a regulated province, especially BC, where there's a lot of shit that you can't do in BC that we can do here. Like, we can do cupping, we can do acupuncture, blah, blah, blah. Right? You guys can't do that shit. You can't even use your feet. Ashiatsu is not a thing. You can't do that in BC, right? As an RMT. So no. I actually see where you're coming from now that I didn't see it before, where I've got an arsenal of things that I can use, and I've used it in this bodywork massage world in the past in all the other places that I've been, and I'm just not permitted to do it here. Like, I've got this thing in my soul that I gotta let out, and I want other people to see what I do, and I want maybe someone to learn from what I'm doing, because I can't really show it to my peers in BC because I can't, right? Yeah. So I've never thought of it from that angle, versus Ryan, who went, he's from Ontario, and he went to the competition in Copenhagen, right?
Yeah.
And his reasoning for going was different. His reasoning for going was, listen, there's a whole bunch of people that really love bodywork and they're good at it, and they can probably give me a lot of information about how I treat. And why would I throw that away? Why would I just not care?
It's a learning
experience.
I want
feedback from people who do this differently, maybe better than I do. And there's always room for me to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, we're not all going to win, but we're all going to learn. And you learn not only from your mistakes, but you also learn from your wins. And these things confirm that what you're doing is good, and you know, you're reaching your purpose, and keep going.
It's strange because, and we've said this before, it's because we're healthcare.
Yes.
And we don't get a lot of exposure, this is why I like these things, because it's exposure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a lot of exposure of what massage is like outside of your Canadian borders. You don't get a lot of exposure to that because they go to massage school in Canada, they think this is what massage is. Well, you go to get a massage somewhere else in the world, like, it's completely different.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? So for us to be so fucking egotistical, narcissistic, whatever the fucking word is, to think this is massage, what we do, what everyone else is doing, now what's that? I'm like, what are you talking about? So I love the idea of competitions because I view it more as an expo, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think in Canada, the concept of competition would be more received if it was if the title changed.
Yeah.
If it was termed a massage expo versus a massage championship.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe we're not giving first, second, third in different categories, but maybe it is just that. It is just an expo to create exposure to a lot of different types of work.
I understand what you're saying. And I think, yes, maybe more people might be more accepting if it was an expo. But I also think there's value in that championship, because for the people who are going and they're going to put themselves on display and really put themselves out there,
yes,
there is that motivation of like, I'm doing this for points. People are judging my technique. People are judging my communication with my client. People are judging the artistry of what I'm doing. And that kind of adrenaline, I think, drives people to really do their best versus just, I'm going here to showcase what I do. But if you don't really think you're like over the top special, what, like, would people be as eager to jump in? Like Ryan saying, you know, I didn't think I was that great, but you know, to learn from people, maybe he would have gone, but I think there's also that element of like, this is kind of cool. I would love to see what other people think of what I do. I would love to get the feedback objectively from this scorecard. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I see
the value in it being competitive. Plus, like you said before, not everything we do has to be for the purpose of propelling the profession forward.
So
this can be just what it is.
I got
a bunch of therapists having fun.
I got a message from, and I think I said this on the podcast too, I got a message from someone on Facebook when I was posting stuff about us going to these competitions. And the person's question was like, how does this advance the profession? And I'm like, it doesn't. It's not supposed to. Like, why is that your question? It's a very strange thing. And why would you believe that that's the purpose of these competitions? I mean, Yuppie might think it forwards the profession. I have no idea. But when you look at it, I don't think it's meant to forward the profession.
Yeah.
I think it's showcasing. It's an opportunity to create community. It's an opportunity to learn from other people who do things that are different from you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that the mandate is promote the profession, but when you break it down to all those little points that I just spat out that happen at these competitions, well, it does that for the people that participate.
Yes.
It does that for the people who observe it.
Just like conferences, you know, Jessica said this at the beginning, conferences, competitions, whatever it is, when you work in a profession like massage therapy, which can become very isolating depending on what type of setting you're working in, it is really essential to network with your peers and go to these educational things, because it's very easy to become complacent. You know, let's say you go to massage school and then 12 years in, it's just been you in your 10 by 10 room with your clients and you haven't really gone out to see what's happening, and you're not getting to meet with other therapists and learn new things. You're going to become pretty stale as a therapist.
You might not feel stale as a therapist, right? And you're still getting all the constant praise because your clients love you.
Yeah.
But your growth has stopped.
Yes.
And you might not recognize your growth has stopped, but your growth has stopped.
Exactly. Get new tools in your tool belt. You know, not every body's the same. Not one technique's going to work for everybody. So why would you not try to, you know, level up your game, basically? And
by the way, I gotta pause Jessica right now. I gotta tell you this, Jessica. I don't know how many of our episodes you've ever listened to, if any, but one thing that Mark and I talk about is the athlete's interview, like, you know, on like a sports I just realized massage therapists all say, you just said the three like buzzword sentences of every massage therapist. Not everybody's the same. You got to have your tools in your tool belt. Not every technique's going to work on every person. I'm like, oh my God, we are the athletes when we're being interviewed.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. You know, just go out there. We give it our best. You know,
leave it all in the field we leave it all in the treatment room.
We're happy to be here, and we're looking forward to next year. Thanks.
Oh, that was so good. Sorry to interrupt you, Jessica. I was like listening to her, thinking, why have I heard this before? Because all of us, like, we must just have this on repeat in our brains. Not everybody's the same. You got to have lots of tools in your tool belt.
And I understand that, you know, these traveling and competitions and conferences, you know, they're not cheap, right? Not everybody can travel. Not everybody has these opportunities. So I work with a clinical group of, you know, people, and I get to come back and share with them because, you know, some of them are getting out of the program now. That's only, you know, I have one person that was only a year hands-on and 1 year in school because of COVID. And it's like, oh man, let me, you know, share some information with you, like sideline, you know, you should be able to do these things with ease and, you know, tell me something you don't know. Let me help you. Let's all get better together.
So what kind of practice do you have now, Jessica? Do you teach? I mean, you sound like you would love to teach. Look at her face. She either teaches or she wants to teach.
Yeah. So the RMTBCS has put forward sort of like a little scholarship to do the Provincial Instructors Diploma Program. And so even though I've done some, you know, teaching education sort of in the past, I need something that BC is going to recognize. Right. So that right. is my plan going into the fall. But I work with a clinic local to us here, Lakeside Massage Therapy. It's with 17 other practitioners. There's two acupuncturists. And it's nice to be with them because, you know, I worked by myself for a long time and, you know, multiple disciplines. And, you know, it's kind of nice to be with people that catch different things or, hey, did you see this email? Or, you know, we learned about the Gallia ponderosis today at work. And some of the girls are like, oh my God, I didn't, you know, even know. I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, all good stuff. So it's really the sharing that's important too. And that's how you learn also. It's touch, sensory, everything.
When did you compete in the championship?
Yeah. So initially, actually, I started with, and I thought, you know what? I worked with super high athletes. I'm going right to the top. I'm going to the World Championships of Massage. And I was supposed to go in 2020. And then COVID happened. That didn't happen. So I actually went in 2022 in June. And I participated in sports massage. I came fifth overall. Nice. There was like 230 participants from 42 countries. It was incredible. Like just the energy inside the auditorium, it was over 3 days. It was crazy. It was beautiful. It was awesome.
What am I reading here? The American Massage Championships. Your name is listed under bronze. Isn't bronze third place?
Yeah. So that was the World Championships in 2022. So I went to the American Massage Championships this year. I competed again in sports. I came fifth again, but I also entered into a new category. It was Western Freestyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I took a silver medal in that, which I'm super grateful for. And, you know, it's like I said, it's, you know, nice to have that recognition. And those are your achievements and those are your wins, you know. It's not why I do it, but it's, you know, nice to have that, like I said, that recognition and validation. And then, so generally of the eight categories, it's the gold medal winners that go forward into the final overall championships to compete against each other.
Yeah.
The gold medal winner in my category was already committed to another category. And so they said, your scores are the next highest. So would you fill in? I said, absolutely, you know? And so I actually didn't have a lot of extra sort of stress on me. And I just kind of did my thing. And, you know, people will say, oh my goodness, you know, you've got such a unique style. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is it? You know, like I said, it's nice to know people like what I do. And I ended up taking third final overall champion.
The way you talk about massage and teaching and all of this stuff and the championships, like you're very passionate about it.
Yes.
I'm going to rewind a bit because we didn't really get into your whole history, but how did you even decide that manual therapy, body work, how did you even decide that this is what you want to do? Like we jump straight to you're in Spain working with high level athletes, but you know, all you told me was right place, right time. But was this ever like on your radar? Was this something you wanted to do? Did you already have a career when you went to Spain or were you like fresh out of high school?
I was working at a bank actually and a casino at night in the restaurant. And you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I just knew that, you know, I'm a very, you know, energetic person and just my personality, but also that perception. And I'm, you know, I like this sort of combined everything that I like to do. I was always interested in kind of spa stuff. And it was like, oh, okay. And it just like, it was just sort of, you know, almost like fate led me to to this.
So it's just on a whim. Oh, the things you can do when you're young,
wow,
right?
You just combine everything you like to do.
I feel like becoming a massage therapist. Cool. I'm going to do that.
I figure skated for a long time. I've always done yoga and just always been super artistic. And this was just, a way for me to sort of help the world, which is also what I wanted to do. And, what are you going to do with that?
Why do you want to help the world?
Because I believe we all should share that, holistic type of healing and, living. And I'll do what I can to help that along. I like to see people getting better, There's so much hurt, and it doesn't have to be like that. So if I can help educate my other colleagues and patients, and that's a win for me.
Do you want to help the world?
Of course I do. I mean, that Mark and I had a super, super stoned conversation at our campfire.
It was a very interesting conversation.
And it was just
because we scared away everyone else.
We did. Everyone left. Nobody cared to hear us. But it was just that, I 100% agreed with Mark's point, and he saw my point. We love to play devil's advocate with each other. But the whole point I was trying to make is that there are people in the world that could, without any skin off their back, could solve a lot of problems. Okay. You know who I'm talking about, the people with all the money. Okay. And all I was saying is it's hard for me not to feel like there's social responsibility there. Like if everybody was trying to make the entire world a better place, and I wasn't, and Mark's like, well, you're describing socialism. I'm like, no. All I'm saying is in an ideal world, these people would want to end homelessness or end world hunger. Like they would want to. And I don't actually believe they have to, but I was like pushing his button saying I feel like if you've got billions, not millions, not like, okay, I'm a movie star and I've, got $500 million. I mean, even then you should want to help people out and donate some money. But I'm like, if you're a legit billionaire and you are not even attempting to help the world in some way, I'm like, you're a sociopath. Like something's wrong with you.
Well, one, I think billionaires do, right? They donate and they give to charity and blah, 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 blah. I understand what you're saying, where you have the capability where if you pool enough people, there's a capability there to solve a lot of world's problems that involve high amounts of dollars. I get that. But my argument was, okay, just because I have the means to do so doesn't mean that it's my responsibility to do so, right? If I don't do so and I have the capability, you can label me a dick all you want, because maybe I am a dick, but it's also not my responsibility to take care of the world.
So yeah, imagine us having this conversation with, a bunch of people around a campfire. Everybody just got up and left. But my whole point in that conversation is, answering Mark's
Label
question.
Me a dick, but it's not something I have.
Is that
to do.
I think that I, like you, Jessica, feel like if there's something I can do that's just going to make things better. Because the way I look at, imagine the world as a company.
Okay.
If the company is successful and all of the employees are treated well and everyone's happy, the entire company is going to be successful. So I look at the world that way. Like if everybody is happy and thriving and everybody's doing well, the entire world is going to be doing well. You know what I mean? It's like the way that society is designed is really, it's like every man for yourself, right? Protect yourself, be selfish. It's okay to be selfish. I'm not saying anything's right or wrong, but my view of the world is different, where it's like, if I can do something that's going to have a ripple effect and make things a little bit better, then yeah, that's what I think everybody should be like. But again, I'm not naive enough to think that everybody thinks the same way that I do.
Do what you can. Pick up your garbage.
pick up your garbage. So Jessica, if we're actually, before I ask you this, I want to know, you said you had a whole bunch of things going on. We talked about you being at the championships and that's really cool. What is next for you? The girl who has practiced all over the world, what is next for you? Where do you want to go? What do you see yourself doing in the next phase of your career?
Next phase. Well, in the near future, like I said, I am heading back down to Hawaii. The American Windsurfing Tour is happening October 23rd to November 3rd. And so I've worked with them three or four times before. So it'll be nice to see all those people again. And going to see about, like I said, helping direct the state exam for Hawaii. It probably will happen in Honolulu, so we'll see about that. I'm going to be doing the teaching certification. I'm going to be headed to Montreal. I'm going to go for the Canadian Championships.
All right.
This is May 4 and 5.
We'll probably see you there.
We'll be the people running around with cameras, yeah, shoving them in your face.
Yep. I'll be us.
There always is.
<That's> you get used to it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So for people listening, Jessica, that, you know, are interested in your story, that maybe want to reach out to you or pick your brain or maybe just see what you're up to, do you have like a website or social media links that people can follow you or find you?
So I actually have a local uniform sponsor, Rhino Uniforms, Rhino Scrubs. And so I have a whole blog on their website about my, some of my experiences at the championships. I have an Instagram account, Jessica_RMT. I do have a Facebook page. Like I said, I do have a clinic here, that I'm working with. Yeah, you can just Google my name. All those links will be there. LinkedIn is also a possibility. I'm working on my own web profile, so I'll can always post that too.
Do you ever Google yourself?
Do I Google myself?
Yeah.
So I actually never used to Google myself because
what?
Because I didn't really think there would be anything there. I'm like, what am I going to find? Like a clinic I work at. Since having children who are old enough to Google and read, I have Googled myself in the past couple of years because our oldest daughter, during class time, they get electronic time, like certain times during the week where they can actually just go online and do some research and whatever. And my oldest daughter told me that she Googled both myself and her father. And I was like, well, fuck. Like we host a podcast where, you know, we get criticized for swearing all the time. This is what I want my 8-year-old reading, right? So I was like, I wonder what she would have found, because she was very vague about what she found. And so I did Google myself, and most of the stuff that comes up is massage therapy media related or 2 RMTs and a mic, but nothing, thankfully, nothing like really bad came up, because I was like, oh, what is she seeing about me?
Did you Google it with safe search on or safe search off?
I don't even know how to do that. So yes, I did Google myself. And thankfully, when she did Google me, she actually Googled my married name, which is like I practice and all of my professional stuff is under my maiden name. So she didn't find much. She actually found mostly stuff about you. So yeah. That was fine. Why'd you ask if I Google myself?
I'm just curious how many people Google themselves. And
Jessica, do you Google yourself?
And what would be the reason for Googling yourself other than just curiosity?
Well, it's a professional, you know, the healthcare is profession. And, you know, if you're going to be working with, you know, you never know who you're going to run into, who you're going to talk to. You always want to, you know, put your best foot forward for sure.
Guys, I'm Googling myself right now. Okay.
What are the top 5 things that come up on a Google search?
Okay, so most of the stuff that came up first isn't me, so that's pretty cool.
Did you Google which name did you Google?
My professional name,
okay,
yeah. And so far it's like there's a doctor, there's somebody, like most of the stuff isn't me. I guess if I put RMT at the end, that would make a difference. Let's see where I am. Because I do know that I'm actually the only person with my name.
Pretending that you haven't done this before.
So the first thing that actually comes up is myself as a massage therapist. So the website that I direct people to if they want to book an appointment. The next thing that comes up is massage therapy media. And then the next thing that comes up is actually for the Canadian Massage Conference. Mm-hmm. So 2 RMTs and a mic doesn't come up till like way, way, way down. So it's fine. We're good.
That's funny.
Anyway, before we wrap up, any more questions for Jessica? Anything that you're dying to know?
I think I have a lot of questions, but...
Well, I mean, I got nothing but time. Go ahead and ask her something.
Maybe that's for a different day.
All right. Well, what about you, Jessica? Any last words for people that are listening? Any words of inspiration for people who want to do something spontaneous, like compete in a massage championship or go practice in a completely different country?
Yeah, a lot of questions I get from people are like, well, what do they judge on? What are they looking for? Like, what are you doing? You know? And it's really, it's not like the number of techniques that you're doing versus like the quality of them. You know, they're looking for biomechanics. That's always a good thing to sort of, you know, engage the core. You know, is it the pace or the flow? Is it a speed massage, tonifying, relaxing? What's your innovation of new techniques, you know, your client contact, all the things we learn in school, you know, really just sort of always try to do your best, you know, be attentive to what you're doing.
Does anyone get really competitive? I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. I don't know if you've seen Pumping Iron. Have you seen Pumping Iron?
Pumping Iron? No, I haven't. Okay.
The old school doc, not the new Netflix thing, the old school documentary that it's Schwarzenegger and Franco Colombo.
I'm too young for this.
And there's a big portion of it that is either a Mr. Olympia or Mr. Universe competition with Frigno, Lou Frigno, and Schwarzenegger. And Schwarzenegger, I don't know if you've ever seen any of stuff that he does now on Instagram or something. And it's very much like when you see him in the gym, it's old school. When I say old school, I used to be a gym rat. And one of the things I really miss about being a gym rat is the trash talk that I would do in the gym. But it would always be like really competitive trash talk, right? It would always be like someone's lifting something. I'm like, oh, you better slow down. That's just so much weight. You're getting too big too fast. Like me, clearly, like you're lifting 10 pounds. You know what I mean? Like I'm just chirping at you at this point, right? And so Schwarzenegger used to do this all the time. He would get into people's heads. Like he would go up to Lou Ferrigno and be like, Louis, you look good, but your timing is off. If this show was in 2 weeks from now, you would peak, you would win, but you missed your timing. You don't look like me. Your timing's off. You can't. He would get into Lou Ferrigno's head. Do you see? And that's because he's being really competitive in a scenario where you're not physically competitive against other people. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you're playing hockey, you can be physically aggressive. You're playing football, you can be physically aggressive. You're bodybuilding.
You're doing on your own.
It's just person to person. Do you know what I mean?
I think massage therapists are too nice. Jessica?
But I'm curious.
It comes from love. Everything we do.
God damn it. I wish there was some asshole that's just chirping everybody. I really would love to see that. Someone's like, you know, walks by, someone's like, you know, doing a routine. It's like, oh, I wouldn't do it like that if I were you. I would do it like this instead. But you know what? It looks good. I like what you're doing. But if it was me, I think I'd do it differently.
Massage therapists are all about community, you know? We're all nicey-nicey to each other.
So there's no real, like, competitive nature in that, eh?
No.
It's almost like you're proving it to yourself. It's like, but you have nothing to really, you know, lose to show your stuff.
I get it. I was just hoping.
Let's let that guy be you. Can you please like compete in the Canadian championships and just be the guy that trash talks everybody?
No, I'm already a lot of people already think I'm a dick, so I don't think I'd want to go, but I would do it. I wouldn't be serious, but
I know,
but nonetheless,
they're your colleagues, right? You never know when you're going to work with
honestly,
them again.
Sometimes I feel like sometimes the chirping of your colleagues is motivational. I really do. And again, that's why when I was in the gym, do a lot of trash talk. But the idea of trash talk is because I want you to do better. I want you to get stronger. I want you to get bigger. I want you to get more defined. I want to see those striations in your pecs. I want that to happen. But I'm not going to do it in a nice way. I'll trash you a little bit. But then we'll sit down. We'll talk diet after. We'll sit down. We'll go through routines after. Or we'll come in and we'll work out together. Do you see what I'm saying? But that's, I miss that about the gym, the trash talking.
Who's your fascia?
I wish she had led with that.
Yeah.
Oh, so because
I posted something, it was funny as hell. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ronnie Coleman, working out outside, like at Gold's Gym or something in LA. And it was hilarious to me because they're just trash talking each other so much, but in a fun, playful kind of way.
Trash talk can be fun, but no, I imagine massage therapists are too harmonious for that. But again, that's why that proves our initial point is that even though it's called a championship, this is not about like being competitive. This is not, you know, like dodgeball. I don't know why that movie came into my head. This is not a bunch of trash talking people trying to win a competition necessarily. You go there. If you win a medal, great. You got recognition. You know, like Jessica said, you kind of get this validation that I am good at what I do and I want to get better, versus you go there thinking like, I'm going to take everybody down. No, because you want to see what other people are doing. You want to learn new techniques. And when it comes to manual therapy, there's so much that is subjective, and that's why the championship confuses people too, right? Because they think, how can you judge something that is so subjective? But there are objective
let's put it this way.
On the score sheet.
You get graded in school.
Exactly.
For an oral practical exam.
Exactly. Right? Reflection to adjust your minor mistakes, whether it be a biomechanic thing or, you know, limb handling. It's all you're all going to win in some fashion. So why not? You're going to have fun at the very least.
A competitive edge can be a very good way to motivate, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good way to motivate.
Well, maybe that's the next thing you bring out.
I obviously wish the best for everyone and whatever they're doing. But at the same time, when we're doing same things or similar things, that turns on the competition switch for me. It's not mm-hmm. it's not that I want you to fail, mm-hmm. right? But me wanting to bury you is just, that's my way of motivating myself to be better at it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about really burying the other person, but I tell myself I want to bury that person, and that lights the fire. Right? But it's not really that. It's like an MMA fight. Right?
And
it's all aggression, and at the end of the day, like, you know, congratulations. Let's hug. Okay.
It depends what motivates you and what drives you. For somebody right. like you, I know competition, whether with yourself or somebody else, is
it's
something that drives
myself.
You.
I make up competition just so I drive myself. You are naturally
a competitive guy, and that's great. I had a patient last week who was talking to me about her two grandchildren that are only 2 years apart. These two are naturally athletic. There's a big difference between them, though. One of them is incredibly competitive. Like, that really is what drives her. So she's a competitive swimmer right now. Okay. And, you know, she's winning races and she's yep. doing all this incredible stuff. Her brother, who's 2 years younger than her, he could 100% not a competitive bone in this kid's body. Right. He doesn't care. He's a fantastic swimmer. And he's, oh my God, he's got to be like 9 years old. He's this little kid that is actually, he's already got with like the highest level that you could ever get in anything. Like, he could save my life if I was drowning. Mm. And he's working
no one got that.
I did get that. they're in a program like where they can compete. Sorry. And he's actually the best one in the entire program and the youngest. And so of course the coaches are saying, you know, you want to compete, you want to race, you want to do that. He's like, no. Like, no, that doesn't drive him at all. Whereas his sister is like, I just got to get better than my brother. And like, she is so competitive.
So what drives him to be better? Like, for example, for me, I compete with myself and that's what drives me to be better. Right. So like, for example, when I was in school, I would always compete with myself. How fast can I finish the next physiology exam? Oh, I did that last one in 22 minutes. Can I do it in less than 20 minutes this time? So, you know, you study a little harder, you study a little bit more. That way you can zoom through questions a little bit faster. And, you know, I'm challenging myself. But through challenging myself, it's making me study more, study harder, study better, study more efficiently. So I use the competition to help myself. How does that kid motivate themselves?
So not knowing this child, I can only assume that it actually would be that. My assumption is he doesn't have a competitive bone in his body when it comes to being better than other people. I think the only way that he would probably improve is if he decides that he wants to improve himself, which right. then would be the competition with himself.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see these two siblings that just have completely different motivations.
This is what I'm not down with why I don't compete with other people, because I don't really care what other people are doing. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why I compete with myself. I need competition, so I do it with myself. But I really don't care what the other person's doing. I don't care what the other person's podcast is about. I don't care what the other person's, you know, whatever class that they have, what their cupping class is about. I generally don't care. So to me, that is not that competition with other people in this realm doesn't matter to me. Yeah. It's always for me competing with myself. Which I'm going to get bored of one day. And when I get bored of it, I'm going to stop doing all of it. Like, I've got a 5-year expiration on everything I do. I'm surprised I've made it past 5 years with this, where I just get bored of competing with myself. And then I'm like, okay, let's move on to something completely different. And that way I've got a whole blank slate of just competing with myself in a way to better myself somehow.
She's like, oh boy, you need so much therapy.
I need therapy? Why do I need therapy?
I'm just kidding. I was just looking at her face. She's like, I don't even know how to respond to you. Well, it was really interesting to hear. I mean, we've had a few people that have done championships.
We've had a lot, actually.
We've had quite a bit.
Joe was on.
We had Joe. We had Leslie. We had Ryan. We had
Jonathan.
We've had
a nice handful.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. We've learned a lot about the massage championships in the last couple of years. And like Mark said, we'll probably end up at the Canadian championships again.
And who knows, we
might end up in the States at some point.
The most interesting thing for me to hear is what motivated someone to do it, right?
Yeah.
For example, Joe was like, I was told I was doing things different. He's like, I guess I do things differently. And so now I'm going to show people that, like, I've got something different going on.
Yeah.
Leslie was the same. She was told, like, hey,
I've never seen anything like this.
Like,
yeah.
What is this stuff that you're doing here? This is different, right? It's interesting.
So are you going to be competing again, Jessica? I know you're coming to Canada. You're already here. You're coming to Montreal.
You really are from Toronto, eh?
Yeah. You're coming to Canada.
She's literally
wearing a Canadian flag.
And the massage makes me happy.
Yeah,
this is my jersey. So I just came from work today, so I thought I'd show it off for you guys.
Yeah, I like it. And the massage makes me happy button.
Yeah, stuff. I love it.
Yeah, we've hosted some of their events.
The last two massage makes me happy day, we were the hosts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, any other questions for Jessica, or shall we let her go back to living her happy life in BC?
I appreciate you guys taking the time. I know it's a bit later there, so it was... Like I said, great to share my story, and I hope to see you guys again. At this point, I don't know, Montreal, we'll see what happens from then.
All right. Well, thank you, Jessica, and we will definitely connect again sometime.
Right on. Thanks for hanging out. This has been good. You guys have been listening to Two Massage Therapists and a Microphone. Peace.